for the love of goats. We are talking about everything goat. Whether you're a goat owner, a breeder, or just a fan of these wonderful creatures, we've got you covered. And now, here's Deborah Neiman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode. I am very excited today to be joined by Joan Burke, PhD, an animal research scientist at the USDA Research Center in Boonville, Arkansas. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Deborah. Thanks for having me.
The first thing, before we get into the whole barber pole and copper oxide issue, could you just tell us a little bit about how you initially got interested in studying copper oxide wire particles? Because that seems kind of out in left field.
Sure. I started doing sheep research at USDA somewhere around 99, 2000, looking at kind of various things, different breed types, organic research, and quickly learned that, you know, on our deworming schedule, our dewormers weren't working. So we had fecal egg counts of somewhere around 1,000 or 2,000 that should have gone down to zero theoretically, and they shot up to 4,000 or 5,000 eggs per gram. And that is our best biomarker in looking at parasite infection. So that pointed to a need for alternatives to chemical dewormers or anthelmintics because of dewormer resistance. Dewormer resistance is the inability of a dewormer to eliminate gastrointestinal nematodes or parasites because the worm population developed resistant genetics or mechanisms to tolerate the dewormer. Also, I had an interest in organic livestock production, as I said, which states that approved dewormers in originally organic regulations allowed just ivermectin, but only during like the maintenance phase of a dam or the first two-thirds of pregnancy, but not during the last third of gestation or any time in the lamb's lifetime. So these dewormers could be used, but animals couldn't be certified if they were used. Our flock is certified by Nature's International Certification Services, and they allow the use of copper oxide wire particles as a dewormer is needed. This actually came about kind of after I started doing research, so pretty exciting. Copper oxide had been discovered to be effective against Homuncus contortus or barber pole worm around 1990 by New Zealand researchers and in 2002 by an Australian researcher. And even before that, some early researchers using copper oxide wire particles to treat copper deficiency in sheep accidentally discovered a reduction in parasites or reduction in fecal egg counts after using copper oxide wire particles. And my colleague from Louisiana State University, Jim Miller, approached me somewhere around 2002 about doing a dose titration study. And I had met Dr. Miller. He's a veterinary parasitologist and he's with the consortium. I met him at an animal science meeting and then we became good friends and collaborators from that study on. And that was about the time where all of our chemical dewormers at the station were failing. So of course I was interested in doing the project with him. And so that's kind of a long answer to how I got started and why I was interested in using copper oxide wire particles.
Oh, that's really fascinating though. Thanks for sharing that. So why exactly did the barber pole worm become such a big problem for goats and sheep?
Well, I think it's always been a big problem, but it just became worse with dewormer resistance. But barber pole worm, it's a prolific worm. It's a blood sucker. That means that an animal will become anemic, can lose a lot of blood with a severe infection. As most sheep and goat producers eventually find out, barber pole worm will eventually become a problem if animals are on grass pastures in warm, humid climates, which includes summers for a lot of the eastern states. Southeastern U.S., we can find worms nearly year-round, or on irrigated pastures in the western U.S. And they've been found in nearly every state in the U.S. and worldwide. So it's a huge problem, not just for us here in the U.S., but everywhere. As I said, it's a prolific egg layer. It sucks blood as much as 200 microliters per day. So you get, you know, 100, 200 worms, an animal can lose a lot of blood. And that's both a developing larva that suck blood and the adult worm. The worm has a short life cycle, which takes about 5 weeks to complete. So you can have multi-generations of worms in one summer. And that's why we can see dewormer resistance develop so quickly, because of that fast generation cycle. And veterinarians use short-sighted recommendations for years and advising farmers to treat often with dewormers. They advise them to move to clean pasture, so deworm and move to a clean pasture. So the only thing surviving on that clean pasture would be resistant worms, worms that survived the treatment. They said deworm in the fall, which that's a bad idea because there's not a whole lot of worms. Anything that survives by spring is going to be resistant. So all of that didn't consider refugia or leaving worms in the animal or in the environment that were left untreated. So use of dewormers in this way initially that led to increased growth of animals. So the reason why it was so widely advised to use is because animals would grow better. And so this led to dewormer resistance of multiple drug classes, which kind of happened pretty fast, especially in southern states, but now we can kind of see multi-drug resistance pretty much everywhere. And eventually many farms went out of business because they couldn't keep their goats alive, and sometimes sheep, so goats, because they're more susceptible to worms. That's why it's such a big problem.
Okay. So basically, as more and more ruminants have worms that are resistant to the chemical dewormers, we need some alternatives. And that's where copper oxide wire particles come into the picture.
Right. So exactly.
What exactly are copper oxide wire particles and how do they work?
Copper oxide wire particles, a lot of people are kind of seeing that they're sold commercially. They can find them now as either CopaSure or Ultra Cruise. Copper oxide, or they're sold as boluses or gel capsules with little particles of copper oxide inside the capsules. They're developed to alleviate copper deficiency in livestock. And you know, I alluded to that earlier. So the particles, they're about 500 micrometers in diameter. So they're pretty small and they have varying length. So what happens when you give an animal the capsule, it's dissolved in the rumen and the particles travel, make their way to the abomasum or the true stomach. And that's where homuncus or barbapole lives in the true stomach. And then the particles lodge in the folds. So you can find particles somewhere between the rumen and the feces, but most of them stick around the abomasum for a couple or several weeks. And the pH of the abomasum is much lower than the rest of the digestive tract. It's close to one. And it's thought that this acid environment causes slow release of copper to the animal. And that can have an indirect effect on the worm. And we see some evidence of that when we look at copper concentrations in the worm itself. We'll find that it's higher from animals treated with copper oxide. But it's also thought that we got some evidence from a student that worked with Dr. Miller that copper oxide works directly on the adult worm, causing damage to the cuticle. So doing kind of an intricate study where we removed the adult worm after copper oxide treatment, we found that the worm actually had some damage to it. But using it as an entomentic or dewormer, it really only lasts about 72 hours. So even though you can find the particles in the abomasum for longer than that, it only works as a dewormer for about 72 hours. Not really sure why, but that's what seems to happen.
Okay. And so how did you figure out how much copper was needed for parasite control in goats?
Well, initially we did dose titration studies in sheep. And let me just say, some of our later studies that we did with Fort Valley State University, really we get the same response of copper oxide wire particles in sheep and goats. So I think it's safe. You know, anytime that I talk about a lamb or a sheep study, we're really going to see pretty similar things in the goat. So initially, we had a dose titration study where we gave no copper wire to 4 or 6 grams per animal. And generally, experimental doses published in the literature were higher than 2 grams, but our aim was to minimize the risk of copper toxicity. Some studies were as high as 20 grams. But if we want to use this as a dewormer and we know that copper can potentially be toxic to both sheep and goats, we want to go with the lowest dose so that we can use it multiple times in a summer. And then we did another dose titration study in weaned lambs later. We went as low as 0.5 gram or 1 gram, and both work the same. So we can actually go as low as a half gram. And we basically now recommend anything less than a year of age to give half or 1 gram. If you're not sure of copper status, go with a half gram. And I just want to say, this is not part of the dose titration, but I've heard this recommendation. I've seen it in writing and I've seen it on Facebook and on the web. This recommendation of giving 1 gram per 22 pounds of body weight. I'm not sure where that came from, but we do not, for use as a dewormer, we don't recommend that because that ends up being a lot of copper. And if you have a truly deficient, copper deficient animal, that might be okay. And that's your only reason to give the copper. But if you're using it as a dewormer, there's no reason to go that high. You're wasting it. And again, if you're copper deficient and you also have worms, you're still going to give the copper at another time later on. So we really do a lot of studies to be on safety of getting it because we know that, again, we know that sheep and goats are susceptible to copper toxicity.
Okay. It's funny. I actually know where the 22 grams, the 1 gram for 22 pounds comes from.
Yeah.
Because we had a problem with copper deficiency like 15 years ago, which is how I found your research, because so many people were saying, oh, you can't give them copper, you're going to kill them, including vets. Even though I had a goat who had a liver level of 4 ppm copper on necropsy. And it is from many years ago, there was a website called Sonandoah that was done by this woman in California who had a severe problem with copper deficiency. And she had a very long list of studies and citations and stuff with University of California, Davis. And she's the one that like everybody was quoting 15 years ago or so when it came to copper. The only source of copper in the literature other than the stuff I found with your parasite research back then. And that is definitely for copper deficiency, not for, you know, parasites. Because of course, if they just have parasites, like you said, you're wasting it if you give them more than what they actually need to kill the parasites. So
right.
It's two completely different dosages for two completely different issues. So assuming somebody is giving their goats, and this is actually a really good time to talk about this, because what I'm going to ask is like, how often is it safe to give copper at the levels that you're giving it in your research for parasites specifically?
That is a really good question. So kind of early on, we wanted to look to see how long the copper oxide was going to be effective in keeping fecal lead counts low. For people who don't know, fecal lead count is kind of our standard measure to know how infected the animal is. So we generally want to see, we don't want to see zeros because we want the animal to have some worm infection because it stimulates the immune system. If an animal, I'm getting off topic a little bit, but if an animal is without worms and all of a sudden faces them, they can have a huge crash, immunologically speaking. But anyway, so we wanted to see how long the copper would last. So we conducted a study with young goat kids. So they were just weaned. The pasture we were using was overstocked. So we use conditions that we don't recommend for good production. So these goats, of course, being weaned, they were stressed, they were susceptible to parasites. We gave a dose of copper oxide, bar particles, and it brought the fecal lead counts down nicely. But within 3 weeks, fecal lead counts were high again. And that's not unusual if you're overstocked. They're picking up more larvae from the pasture and the animals became anemic. And so we treated them again. And that, again, brought fecal lead counts down. So that study, we just did 2 treatments every 3 weeks. So if you were to treat every 3 weeks. So let's say you've got poor management and you treat every 3 weeks. If you're using a low dose, such as a half gram, and you're in a copper deficient area, so you what you saw, you had copper deficient goats. And our sheep tend to be copper deficient here in Arkansas. So we have lower levels of copper in the liver and in the blood. So if you're in that type of environment, you might be able to get away with treating up to 10 times within a summer. So that would be 10 times half gram, would be 5 grams. And that's probably relatively safe for goats anyway, maybe or maybe not for sheep. It just depends. So the animal might not be at risk for copper toxicity in that case. But if your animals are exposed to a lot of copper, which does happen in soils, forage, feed, water from copper pipes, you know, there's all kinds of ways that animals can get copper, then the risk of copper toxicity greatly increases. And let me just say, like you said, we knew animals were copper deficient because we did tests in liver. And if you want to do tests on a live animal, you can pull a blood sample and submit it to a diagnostic lab. It's not as good as the liver measure, but it's still pretty good. We did another study in lambs. We tested how often we could give it in lambs. And so we gave it 6 weeks apart and we gave 4 treatments and we gave either a 0.5 gram or 1 gram. And we did increase the copper in the liver over time, but for those 4 treatments, we were still well within the safe zone. So none of them were at risk for copper toxicity. Something to keep in mind, and just reminds me in this study. So although we treated 4 times, the last 2 treatments that we gave weren't necessary. We actually had more non-barber pole worm species showing up, which is not uncommon. So you take away barber pole worm, then you're going to, of course, you know, the proportion of other worms is going to go up. Those other worms are not susceptible to the copper oxide. In other words, the copper oxide targets barber pole, but not others like Trix strongylus, coluperformis, or esophagosum, some of the others. And so when you give copper wire, the fecal egg count actually doesn't seem to go down in that case. So keep in mind that when worms that are in the intestine or the hindgut may not, they don't cause the same kind of problems as barber pole worm, but you might see some reduced weight gain, or there's reduced weight gain, and that's one of the problems with the worms, and it happens with cattle too. You can't really see that they're not gaining weight because there's lots of different reasons why they're not gaining weight.
And then since the copper oxide wire particles are specifically for barber pole worm, which is a blood sucker and causes anemia, we should also see improvement in the anemia status of the animals so that breeders and owners can keep track of how they're doing by checking FOMACHA scores like before and after they give copper oxide, right?
Right. Kind of in general. So copper oxide wire particles will only improve anemia of the animal, like I just said, if it's infected with barber pole worm. So if the animal has diarrhea, kind of looks unthrifty, not gaining, that could be other worms. And like you said, the FOMACHA scores aren't going to suffer so much with the other worms. So if you've got mostly homuncus and you look at the animal and you've got FOMACHA scores of 4 or 5, so they're very pale, you give the copper oxide, within 2 weeks or so, you should see an improvement.
You've also compared the effects of copper oxide wire particles when it's mixed into feed or given as a bolus, because I know a lot of people think that you have to bolus it, but you actually did a study where you compared groups that where it was mixed into feed or bolus. Can you talk about what that study showed?
Yeah. So we can incorporate copper oxide wire particles in the feed, or we can give it as gel capsules. And we say it's similar efficacy with either method. So, you know, a lot of people ask, if I give the bolus in the mouth and they chew it, is it still going to be effective? And the answer is yes. And we've actually made those notes and then looked at the fecal egg count reduction. And so whether the animal chews it, whether it's in the feed or they accidentally chew the capsule, it still works pretty well. However, if you think about it, there's more of a chance of not thoroughly mixing the small particles to distribute evenly so that all animals get the same amount. And that can be a big concern if you've got some animals that really don't need the worm treatment and others that do. So it's fine if you're feeding one animal at a time. So if you mix the particles in a ration and you've got dairy goats, so the dairy goat comes to milk and you're giving her a little bit of feed with a copper oxide. And so that's fine. But if you're feeding 10, 20 or more animals, there's always a chance that one will get too much and another not enough.
Yeah, I could definitely see that if you're feeding it in a group. One of the things we do, because we have dairy goats, and so we do give it to the milkers on the milk stand. And what we do with the other goats, like our bucks and stuff, is that we do it on spa day, basically when they're getting their hooves trimmed and we're checking their eyelids and everything. That's when we give them copper if they need it. And we initially just give it to them with a little tiny bit of feed to so that they're more likely to lick it up. Like if they want that tiny little bit of feed, they have to lick up the copper to get it.
Yeah.
So in another one of your studies, you combined the copper with valbazin. And I don't mean like together. I mean, like you gave them copper and then you gave them valbazin. Can you talk about how that turned out?
Yep. So we had three different treatments. We had four different treatments. We had a treatment of nothing, or we gave copper oxide alone, or valbazin. Another name for valbazin is albendazole. We gave that alone, or we gave the two in combination. And we had a mixed population of Homunculus cantoris or barbacoa worm, and we also had Trichostrongylus caperia and Esophagostomum. So those are other intestinal or hindgut worms. Like I said, sometimes these worms in large numbers can cause problems, and sometimes in low numbers, they're really not pathogenic. And remember, copper oxide alone only targets barbara pole worm. And we knew, so we had done a drench right test, and a drench right test is basically a fecal egg count reduction test, but it was done at the University of Georgia, where we submitted a fecal sample with lots of eggs, and the larvae were hatched. And those larvae were tested and found to be resistant to benzimidazoles. And the benzimidazoles include albendazole. So we knew we had pretty good resistance to that dewormer, which is not uncommon in the Southeast. So in this study, there was only a 20% reduction by day 7 and a 46% reduction by day 14 with valbazin alone. So if that was our only dewormer, and we had wormy animals, the animals will be in trouble. You might find some improvement immediately, but within 2 weeks, the worms could become a problem. And now the copper oxide by itself led to either a 12 or 1% reduction. And that's because of our mixed population. So we had cultured the feces. So we knew how much homunculus was in there. When we consider only the effect on the homunculus, we had close to an 80% reduction. So sometimes the copper oxide doesn't reduce all of the worms, but the combination, so the copper oxide and the dewormer, led to a 90 to 99% reduction by day 14. This is really exciting because our dewormer didn't work very well in the worms. So it suggests that when using a combination of the two products, we get the benefit of both, and both treatments improve, both products improve. So now in our flock, whenever we see high FOMACHA scores of 4 or 5, so we see really pale animals, we use copper oxide wire particles in combination with dewormers. And if we see FOMACHA, this is just our general recommendation for our flock, if we see FOMACHA scores of 3, we'll just give the copper oxide by itself. And we have also seen the same phenomenon with levamisole, but we don't have enough data yet.
That's really great news, because so many flocks or herds do have a problem with dewormer resistant now. And so it's really like you've got a fourth dewormer out there, or a fourth category of dewormer, because I know researchers have been talking about combining dewormers from different categories for quite a few years now. And this actually just gives you another option if you're having problems finding something that works, which is really exciting. One of the other things that I've heard people talk about, especially, and it's mostly some older books and older sources of information, is that copper sulfate can help with worms. And I think you may have studied that also and compared it to copper oxide. How does copper sulfate compare to copper oxide in terms of treating parasites?
Yeah, so Dr. Miller and I published a study in 2008 where we looked at giving goats copper sulfate, either in the mineral, which was a suggestion by an Australian non-peer-reviewed publication, or we gave it in the feed and there was no reduction in fecal count. In fact, we saw that growth rate of goats tended to be reduced in goats that got copper sulfate, which that could be a concern. Similarly, Dr. Miller conducted a study at LSU where he gave copper sulfate drenched to lambs. And again, there was no reduction in fecal egg count. And I think years ago, before we had multiple classes of antelmintics, I think they would combine the copper sulfate with other things like tobacco or toxic compounds. And it might be, you know, when you combine it with other things, it works better. We also use an industrial copper oxide wire particle, so not what you get with CopperSure or UltraCruise, but one that we use in a lab diagnostic equipment. And we didn't get the same reduction in fecal egg count like we see with the CopperSure or UltraCruise. So it's important that you use the right form of copper. And again, with copper sulfate, it's relatively easily absorbed. So I think you can run into problems a lot quicker with copper sulfate, especially if you're giving it over multiple days. If you're giving it just once, then, you know, you're less likely to get in trouble, except it's not really going to work to kill the worms.
Right.
We did a study a number of years ago where we looked at a combination of Duddingtonia flagrans, which is a nematode trapping fungus, and copper oxide wire particles. So that was 20 plus years ago. Companies were trying to get Duddingtonia flagrans on the market for control of parasites on pasture for a number of years. And it finally just happened last year. So this is a nematode trapping fungus. It's now available in the US as Bioworma. It's manufactured in Australia and sold by Premier. And veterinarians can get a hold of it and sell it as well. It's the only product on the market that targets a reduction of parasites on pasture. So it's pretty exciting for someone who is considering, you know, regenerative agriculture, reducing chemicals. But anyway, so in that early study, looking at the interaction of copper in the fungus, we found that we could safely still feed the fungus and give copper oxide, and the copper didn't harm the fungus. So just as an aside, the way the fungus works is we feed the spores of the fungus to the animal. The spores go through pretty much untouched, but when they come out in the feces along with the eggs, both the spores and the eggs develop. And as the eggs develop into larvae, the fungus develops and it actually forms these structures that trap the larva and kill it. And so to me, that's a really exciting way that we can control parasites. It is a little bit expensive. So we want some of our research that we're doing now is trying to find ways to economically feed it. So we want to be able to provide recommendations for the most economical bang for your buck.
Oh, that's a great thing to add, because I'm getting a lot of questions about that now, and not just about the Duddingtonia flagrans, but just on the pasture in general. You know, I have people asking me about things like, if I burn my pasture, will that help? Or if I sprinkle DE all over my pasture, will that, I mean, all kinds of questions that people have, you know, when they have a really serious problem, they're grasping at straws. So it's really great that we do have something now that will help to reduce the number of eggs and larvae on the pasture.
Yeah, and I would say anyone who has named animals should get this product. I used to tell people anyone who has named goats or sheep should keep them on concrete away from the worms. But this allows them to go out on pasture and be relatively safe out there. It's not instantaneous because it does nothing for the worms and the animals. But over time, it gets the load of worms on pasture gets lighter and lighter.
That's awesome. And one last topic before we go, this isn't about copper, but I also get questions from people about using herbal dewormers. And I know you have done at least one study that I'm aware of with an herbal dewormer. And can you just talk about the results of that?
Yeah, just real quick. We did a study at Heifer International, Heifer Ranch, Heifer International on goats. And so we fed the Molly's herbal dewormer according to the package recommendations, followed it exactly. And there was no reduction in fecal egg counts in these goats. And there was a similar study done at North Carolina State University. Jean-Marie Lugenbuehl did that and found similar non-control using, I believe it was Hoger's herbal product.
Right. Yeah. And I found the same thing too, back 15 years ago, 10 years ago, when we had problems with dewormer resistance, I tried everything that everyone said or anyone said might work. And I was doing before and after fecals, and there was not a difference in the fecal egg counts before and after using those two dewormers, as well as another popular one at the time. Well, it has been really wonderful having you here today. And I think you've provided a lot of really valuable information that is going to be helpful for people who have parasite problems. And thank you so much for coming.
You're welcome. Thanks, Deborah, for having me.
And that's it for today's show. If you haven't already done so, be sure to hit the subscribe button so that you don't miss any episodes. To see show notes, you can always visit fortheloveofgoats.com. And you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/lovegoatspodcast. See you again next time. Bye for now.